We thank you for Christmas, God. We thank you for what you've done for us. And so, Father, I pray you give us ears to hear, God, what your Spirit would speak to us at this time. And God, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Go ahead, Craig.
Amen.
If you have any comments, you're welcome.
I think the Word does better than I do.
Luke chapter 2,
verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, in the time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths. She placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you."
Amen.
"He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Glory to God, Jesus has come.
Amen. 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 Good job, Craig.
Amen.
And I'm going to repeat the scripture that Craig read earlier. Well, in a minute. The next scripture is this. So this Christmas story is this. It's found in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And then John 1:1-5 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus, in him is the life. In him is the light. We've been talking about, we've been using the song, Mary, the phrase from the song "Merry and Bright." It's on my mug, actually, this morning. It's on your napkins, actually, this morning. "Merry and Bright." So we've used that phrase, and we talked about the brightness. We talked about that Jesus is the light of the world. And our main scripture that we've been using is found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. It says this. It says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." The idea of this scripture that we've been talking about for the last few weeks is this, is that the light has dawned on people living in the shadows of darkness. And the darkness expressed here, we talk about light and darkness. We talk about the, oh my gosh, I just saw Star Wars this week. So the light and the darkness, Lord help me. Lord help me. I'm not going to give spoilers. There's no spoilers.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But there is light and there is darkness. And so I remember one year, this is an aside, I actually did, some of y'all remember, we did a message, and it was a Star Wars movie was coming out, and we did at Christmas, we did something about hope. I forgot, A New Hope or something like that, or something from a Star Wars reference. So, and it's this year too with the Star Wars movie coming out. So there is light and the darkness, but it's amazing how darkness has always had to do with gloom, right? With danger, with fear, that something bad will happen, a foreboding, right? Or worry, of basically no hope. Like hopelessness is darkness. And so we've talked about how that we live in a world, and when Jesus came, the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, the prophecy was that a light would come and it would overpower the darkness. It would overshadow the darkness. It would come, and I talked about how when light comes, it brings illumination and it brings warmth, right? I talked about how you can live in the shadows. You can live in, you can, like, whenever you're standing in the shadows. I gave the idea when I was standing in the shadows on one of those brisk kind of days, and I stepped out of the shadow into the sun, and it was a marked difference, right? I felt the warmth of the heat. I felt the warmth of the sun, of the S-U-N. And but the same is true as we walk, come out of the darkness, and we step into the light that gives life. In Him was the light. In Him was the life, and the light of men, right? So that life lives in us. That light has to do with the life that God brings to us. And we said that if you live, you can have as much of the light as you want. You can have as much, you can stand in shadows, or you can step into the light. It's really our choice. It's a choice that we make to step into the light. And however much light you want, it's fully available. And there's not a shortage of God's light. There is not a shortage of His life that you can get. You cannot have fully arrived in this. Amen? There is more life for you. There is more light. There is more illumination. There's more of the goodness of God that you can stand in if we just, as it were, step out of the shadow and step into the light. So we have to position ourselves. Amen? Position ourselves in the light. And that's our choice that we choose to make. And we talked about, I'm all over my message. Okay, praise the Lord. We said this, the brighter the light, the more darkness it dispels. The brighter the light, the more darkness it dispels. And I had my flashlight, if you remember the first message in that, and I blinded half the teenagers that Sunday morning. I have this amazing, like, 800, 700 lumen flashlight. The thing is, that's amazing. I love that flashlight. And it, like, dispels a lot of darkness. But I also have, like, a little pin light, right? Or, even a better example, on your iPhones or your phones, you can actually change your brightness, right? You can change the brightness that you have. You have options, right? And the more darkness there is, the more light there is, the more darkness it dispels. So as you receive the brightness of God's goodness, the merry and bright, right? As you receive more of the brightness, the more darkness in you it dispels. So we can receive more and more and more. And so we talked about positioning ourselves in the light if we want to benefit from that light. We talked about living in the brightness last week. How do we live in the brightness? And we talked about two ways. It's really you're getting into God's Word and getting into His presence. Getting into God's Word and getting into His presence. So I want to talk briefly this morning about the last thing that we're going to talk about. Is I want to talk about us being people that the brightness shines through us. How the brightness of God shines through us. Jesus said it like this. Says it like this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. They light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way. Let's break it down. In the same way that you put the light up on a stand so that it can benefit everybody in the house, in that same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. At the end of the day, God has given us the mandate and the ability to shine His very light through us. He has called us to be light bearers, if you will. He's called us to be people of the light that expel darkness wherever we go. Like in Him, in us, we can have the light and the life of God. And that light should so shine in us that it changes us and it changes things around us. When we deal with different things, we go different places and we're doing our thing, we can shine the light of God everywhere we go. We were in some store the other day, me and my wife, I don't remember what store. I mean, at this point, like, do we remember all the stores we went to? Like, for real. So we were in some store and this lady was having, remember this? She was having a terrible day. Like, it was awful. She was, and the person before her, I don't know if you've noticed, but there can be some Christmas shoppers that aren't really nice. I don't know if you, they are not merry and they're not bright. They are unmerry and dark. But she was having a terrible, terrible day. Terrible day. And she was just ready to, I don't know if she was about ready to go on break. I don't remember the whole. But she was like, and you know it's bad when we walk up and they just look at you like, oh, another one. You know, you're like, oh, another one. You're like, hey. And I don't know about you, but give me that person. Like, because you know what? I know that there's brightness in me. I know that there's light of God in me. And so what do you do? And with God's help, she was laughing. We were joking when we did our exchange. And it totally changed. Remember that? It totally changed her whole attitude. Her whole thing. And those, so you slip a, you know, God bless you, man, or whatever, you know. Something that says Jesus, right? God. So that light that's within us, that idea, look at this scripture. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, what does that have to do with what? Well, you're about to find out. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Can I get an amen? Amen. Then, watch this. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky. That you can shine, God's light can shine through you in a wicked, there's all different translations, wicked and perverse generation, but a wicked or a crooked and warped generation. It's amazing how the light of God, but watch what he says. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. What is he saying? He says, you don't have to allow the world to dictate how you are. You don't have to allow the people around you to dictate who you are. What you can do in the midst of all of that, you can have so much of Jesus on the inside of you, the light of the world, that it shines and it breaks darkness all around you, everywhere you go. And you know what people will do? They'll go, man, you're peculiar. And you go, exactly. Like, we have taught, and I may have said it before, if you're here long enough, you'll hear me say things over and over and over again. But we have heard it taught that we're a peculiar, you know, the scripture talks about we're a peculiar people. You're like, well, it's because, you know, well, you don't chew and you don't drink and you don't run around with those who do, or however that saying goes, right? We don't do things like you do. Like, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not drunkards like you. You know, we are all high and mighty, and we don't like that moral thing that you're doing. That immoral thing that you're doing. And we're peculiar in that way. No, sometimes you're just being a jerk. Ooh. Got quiet in there for a second. No, but we're supposed to listen. He says, this is about like how you act. Don't be a grump. Don't grumble. Don't complain about everything, right? He says, when you do things that are up, we talked about the whole kingdom. Remember Jesus and his kingdom is built on the upside down way of living in this culture, in this world. When you start living in that realm, when you start living along in the lines of Jesus, in the way Jesus treated people, in the way Jesus, when you look to Jesus, that's why I've said it so much. One of your biggest studies should be the life of Jesus. And how did he interact with different people? How did he interact and how did he deal with different things? And how did he react in ways, right? But we're peculiar because we live by the law of love, right? Like Brian saying, his law is love, right? And his gospel is peace. Like when we live as people that don't allow the things of the world to get in us and affect us and mold us, another scripture says, mold us into its image, and we stand different, the Bible says you will shine like the stars in heaven. When you shine, when you shine, I have a picture I want you to see. I think it's the light. It's not over there because our projector. Look at this. Like when you see a light in darkness, watch. Your attention is automatically focused on the thing that's given light. When the light shines, your attention goes straight to the source of the light. So what we do as we shine in the darkness, the focus should go, this is actually, I did Google search, right? Google search light in the darkness, and went, boom, there it is. I was like, that'll work. Because what is a generation warped and generation need? They need hope. And when we shine hope wherever we go. We shine the goodness of God wherever we go. And when you shine like that, all of a sudden people's attention goes, what is with you? What is the deal with you? Because the light shines in me. Right? And one of the greatest things that the Holy Spirit does is it transforms us into the very image of Jesus, and it makes us a whole lot better light bearers. The Holy Spirit does a lot of things, but really, if I can say, one of his number one deals is transforming us into his image. I love all the gifts. I love all the power. I love it all. But let by the Holy Spirit change me into his image so that when people see me, they see hope. Maybe some of the people around us have given up on God. They've seen a terrible example of the way Christians are. I don't know if you know they're out there. How many of you are tired? How many of you, let's talk to, Merry Christmas, by the way. How many of you are just tired of having to make excuses for other Christians and their actions? Come on. You know what you and I can do? We can be part of the solution. We can have the heart and life of Jesus in us. So that we don't respond like that. And when we do mess up, we acknowledge it. Yeah, that was wrong. Yeah, I totally should not have cussed you out. That was terrible. Forgive me. Oh, I know none of y'all. No, that's not. That's the other church down the road. Right. I shouldn't have responded that way. Julie, I shouldn't have, you know, whatever I always do, you know. Once again. But we can shine like stars that when people are around us, and it's like I've said multitude of times, maybe they'll look at us and go, I don't know about all the doctrine that you believe in, but you're different. Like you, if I would ever know a Christian, like you're that kind of one. Right? Like you really do forgive people. You really do not, when things happen, you really don't let it affect you. Like, what's wrong with you? Jesus. That's it. Right? And you can go into so much like when the light of your understanding of who you are in Jesus hits you. Like when that scripture says, what can man do to me? When you understand that you live to the audience of one and you live for the purpose of honoring him in your life, what is man's opinion of you? How does that change your identity of who you are? And when that drops into who you are, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm telling you, that light just shines. And people say all kind of stuff about you, but it doesn't affect you because I know in whom I believe, as Paul says. I know. Because there's hope that lies in us. The idea is that we, through Jesus, we can shine through a crooked generation by Jesus living on the inside of us. Jesus came and he died, yes, to give us, to reconcile us back to God. But he also died so that the Holy Spirit could come and shine through us. Amen. We shine among them, not away from them, among them. You ever hear this? Like, we used to hear this back in the day. I just have so many. It's amazing. I'd hear people say, don't cuss around me. Like, really? Like, I just appreciate it if you just, you know. I mean, there's some things, you know, that we can talk about, but. That, like the idea that if you sin around me, that some of your sin is going to get on me. You know what I'm saying? You've been around, I mean, it's not y'all, it's the other church, like I said. Maybe one day that church down the street that we always talk about will get saved. But it's the idea of like, I can't live around any people that sin because it might get on me. Right? I'll get dirty. No, that's the total opposite. He says, live among them and shine among them, right? Actually, he says, actually, come out from among them and be separate. Yeah, but he talks about like living your life. Like, don't be like them. Shine your light, right, around people. And there's, let me, a caveat, you know, if you have trouble with alcohol, if you have trouble with whatever that sin is, you probably shouldn't go see certain movies. You probably shouldn't go into bars, you know, that kind of idea. You know, you just got to be wise about this stuff. But the idea that somebody's cussing around you is going to affect you. And it's hurting my ears. Like, get over yourself. Like, and just know who you are in Jesus. That I don't care, you know, whatever that is, whatever you do. That's not me anyway, that's you. Right? Anyway. We shine the light of Jesus all around us. So my prayer this Christmas is, as we talked about it earlier, as you go around and you see light, as you see these stars in this room, as you see the Christmas lights, as you see the different, you know, things that are lit, as you see the stuff, I want you to remember three things as we close this series. That Jesus alone is the light of life. Jesus alone is the light of life. Number two, Jesus can push out darkness in your life. 100%. And number three, is that same light that's been in you, that we're called to shine that light everywhere we go. In the kindness and love, the way Jesus intended us to. And I'll read this scripture again. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. What's Christmas? The great light. On those in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Jesus has come. The light of the world has come. And we celebrate that this week. Let that light, let His goodness so fill you this Christmas that no matter whatever your Christmas situation is, that you have the joy of Jesus in you this Christmas, that you would have the fullness of God in you this Christmas. And I would challenge you this week, spend some time with Him this Christmas. Read back over the Luke 2 story of Jesus coming. Spend some time in thanking Him for what He's done for you. And then next week, we're going to talk about some of the goodness of God that we've seen over this last year. And if you haven't, on the side, I would like you just like send me some of your things that God's done for you this year. I'd like to hear some of the things, and maybe I'll ask you to share them, and maybe I won't. But what has God done for you this year? And next week, let's spend some time and just celebrate that a little bit. Amen? So, and I will say this, I need some more people to write some stuff and send it to me. And if you don't want to come up and say it, then you don't have to, but I would like, you obviously like to read it. You know, I'd like to hear what God's done in your life. And then,
how do you send it?
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? I used to, worship team, come on up. You can email it to me at info. No. Or Julie@hopechurchatl.com. That's Julie@hopechurchatl.com. Dennis. That's Julie@hopechurchatl.com. It's your favorite one? Yeah. Never mind. Or you can send it to me at Dennis's other least favorite, David@hopechurchatl.com. Is it okay? We're family here today. Let's all stand together.